Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for October 9th, 2010. It's my great pleasure today to introduce Suzanne Taylor, producer-director of the award-winning film What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And I've got information on the show page for Cosmic Love on her film and information introducing contents. There's links there. Regarding an exceptional trailer she has. I'm going to give a brief introduction before I bring Suzanne on. She's not just the producer and director of this What on Earth Inside the Crop Circle Mystery, but she's also been involved with films since she graduated Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude from New York University. And originally an actress, she crossed over to the other side of the camera as executive producer of the feature documentary Crop Circles, The Quest for Truth. And as the founder of Mighty Companions, a nonprofit dedicated to consciousness expansion, her Los Angeles home is a gathering place for forward-thinking activists. She writes the blog, Making Sense of These Times, and I provided a link on that on the Cosmic Love homepage. And that blog offers progressive ideas about conscious evolution and asks readers to consider how instrumental the crop circle phenomena could be in that regard. So What on Earth links are also included at the website cropcirclemovie.com/radio. And that has got some special offers on discounts regarding the movie for show listeners today. So you might want to go to that website, which I haven't got on the Cosmic Love webpage. We're giving that to readers today, where you can get the film at a discount. It's at www.cropcirclemovie.com. So
slash radio.
Oh, slash radio. Thank you, Suzanne. I was just going to bring you on.
I'm monitoring here.
Well, thanks for being on the show today. I really appreciate your movie. I was thrilled to see the trailer and the incredible pictures, the graphics, commentary, insights, different speakers you have on the video. I was really excited to see on your blog website you have these three videos regarding the production, people involved with the production of the video, and panel discussions and yourself speaking with really interesting insight on the movie that I'm sure that anyone that clicks on your blog link and goes to see that will be fascinated. So.
Well, we send them to theconversation.org for that, which I've been doing for many years, even before I got involved in the crop circles, just to talk about consciousness and the way the world is in this limited perspective and how can we get out of it. And then the crop circles came along and that became my main advocacy for how we can get out of it. But even before that, if you even went back to my archives, I've been posting the most interesting things that are universal and, you know, forever almost. So I love my blog. I love writing it. I love sharing it.
Your blog is like cosmic love for me.
Exactly.
It's a way I connect and get information out there and share information. So that's at
my soapbox.
theconversation.org.
Yeah, theconversation.org.
.org. Nice name for a blog. How long ago did you get that one?
I've been doing it a long time. I remember it switched over to being a blog, I think, after 9/11. You know, blog wasn't what we were talking years ago.
Yeah.
It was an HTML website, and I had a webmaster, and I would write these things, and my webmaster would put them up. And, you know, it's like in the old days when you went and got gas, they poured it in your tank, and now you have to get out and do it. Well, now we have to run our own our own newsletters, you know.
So, your own webmaster, yeah.
Right. So I've graduated now. But this thing goes way back. The idea of it goes way back. The kind of thing I was doing and also inviting my readers to, and then we would post what they would write, much like you make comments now, you know, automatically. And it was all very personally hand, you know, crafted in those days. So I go way back.
So you've really been a long-time advocate of the conscious evolution movement.
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm in some ways, I'm not exactly a child of the 60s. I was having babies in the 60s. But it took me until about the 70s to get really tuned in to all of the things that the people in the 60s were launching of, you know, how we needed to change the world. And that seemed to me to be a very good idea.
Well, you know, kids are really good for transformation. They become 3D projectors of our unconscious.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. That's true, too. You become a great producer if you are a good parent, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm really intrigued to see your the film, because I wasn't aware of it, and I was connected through VBS Radio. They send on different show hosts that are looking to connect.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I saw that, I immediately saw, that this was something I wanted to do, because I've for years just been fascinated with the Crop Circle Connector website.
Right, and that's the one we all plug into when the circles come in. They give each one a page, and all the smart people in the world who are paying attention will
yep.
tell you their interpretations. Oh, the geologists will tell you what the geology is about, and the archaeologists, and, you know, the biologists,
yeah.
and the philosophers, and, you know, they'll discern the messages that have been encoded in these things that, you know, us ordinary mortals, we don't know all these different fields of endeavor, and it's one of the characteristics of the circles is that they are loaded with intelligence. Something has programmed them. They're not
yeah.
just pretty patterns, you know.
Well, I'm amazed at some of the digitally coded information and other astrophysics, cosmological data that's in crop circles and other crop circles that are just like Rorschachs or ink blots that the different philosophers, geologists, or whoever project into it whatever they want to see.
Well, that's true, too. You do a lot of that also. But you actually have very specifically encoded things, and if you weren't in that field of study, you'd not likely even be aware of that.
That's right.
The lovely thing with a Crop Circle Connector as a website gives us a place to focus, and everyone who's interested in the circles, and that includes people from all these different disciplines, will kick in with what they know, what they have perceived. It just, you know, it's really astonishing. You say, oh, my God, how did anybody figure that out? Well, it's their field, you know.
It's their field, yeah. Well, I'm really amazed how since the 70s when the media started reporting crop circles, you know, the early 70s, of course, they've been around for hundreds of years. There's been reports of them.
Yeah, maybe even thousands, you know.
Maybe even thousands, but when
they
were, it really
they weren't
started...
Doing they weren't doing the Internet back then or newspapers,
that's
so
right.
we had to kind of like say, could that be a
what
crop circle on that cave painting?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, I mean, I remember when I first started hearing about them, I started thinking, well, how can that be? Who did those? Who has, you know,
well, the
what,
whole
you
world
know.
Was wondering that, actually, early on. You know, I was producing programs about the circles starting in the late 80s when I just accidentally stumbled across them, and I was always interested in consciousness, and I thought, oh, this is something that can really change consciousness. And
yeah.
The world was fascinated by them. I used to do a lot of stuff in my living room that were along the order of what I guess you would call salons. I would have a speaker usually or a topic or a teaching or something going on. And when the crop circle programs came along, I couldn't fit everybody into my house. I had to go out and get space in, you know, the commercial world so that we could do these presentations. People were just so turned on and so curious, as rightfully they should be, you know.
And that was in the late 70s, early 80s?
No,
or?
I started in the late 80s, actually. The circles start, this modern era of circles did start in the 70s with interest, you know, on the part of, you know, people who had
right.
discovered them this time around. And I tuned in the late 80s. It was still not well known at that point, but to the extent that it was known, people were just incredibly interested.
Interested.
In it.
And
yeah.
that really picked up with the
yeah.
internet. So I've been watching the phenomenon. I remember one presentation I saw about 7 years ago that went through the evolution, you know, early on of pretty simple geometric forms generally, and then evolved into these very sophisticated fifth-dimensional Euclidean mathematical formulas.
Uh-huh. Really.
You know, and some people explaining what, you know, Euclidean mathematics are as far
as... Oh, we learned a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Really, really. We've actually added to our body of knowledge in terms of Euclid had all these theorems. Well, some smart guy who was actually the head of the astronomy department at Boston University discerned more theorems.
Theorems.
He got new theorems from the crop circles, and that's in our literature now. We've added to the body of geometric information thanks to the crop circles.
It's like a cosmic download of intelligence.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, you know, some people say, well, oh, so what? We've got these problems on Earth. Who cares if there's other things going on out there? Just, you know, let it be. Don't bother with it. But, of course, if we understood and accepted as humanity that we were being signaled, that there was other intelligence engaging with us, we'd have to rethink everything. We've got it that we're the only ones now, and it keeps us very arrogant and very turned on each other. You know, that's all we have is each other. But if we had something beyond ourselves that we knew was intelligent and, in fact, more intelligent than we are, since they're visiting us and we're not visiting them, we would just have to really take our place much more humbly than we are now, as part of something much larger than we give our attention to now or acceptance of now, and that would be so good for us, you know. That would really give us a new way to kind of think about everything.
Remember the movie, what was it, Contact with Jodie Foster?
Oh, I like that. That was the first one that came along of all those movies that really seemed to, goods.
Had the goods about the transfer of digital information. In the movie, there was this information transferred, and these messages were beamed to Earth, which parallels the story of, and it's in your movie, and some of the references in those video clips on your website about this digital information that was coded in some of these crop circles regarding the silicon-based life forms that were sending the messages.
Right, right. We're carbon-based, they're silicon-based, according
That's
to
right.
this very, very specific communication we got from them that I say them. There may be lots of thems, but this particular one was identifying the sender and comparing the sender to us, like they have three inhabited planets in their solar system, wherever it may be. They're 3 feet tall with big heads, and they are silicon-based, not carbon-based. You know, there was a whole bunch of parallel information about how we are one thing and they are something else. A very, very fascinating particular crop circle that arrived in 2001, actually. I was one of the first people in that crop circle, by the way.
Really?
A little trivia that you wouldn't have known. I had to climb over fences. I had to go under barbed wire. It was quite a scavenger hunt to find it. We weren't doing GPS at the time, which they do now. They'll give you the GPS coordinates so that you can find these circles more easily. Then it was hunt and peck. I think it's over in so-and-so's field. Oh, the helicopter said if you go 4 fields over and 3 things under and da-da-da-da, you'll find it. And da-da-da-da-da. And we would search around. I mean, it was almost comical, you know, looking around for these things. And sometimes you never found them, you know. And sometimes
it
took hours to find them.
This was in England?
In England, yeah. You know, some of them are right by the road. I mean, they're easy to find. You can see them when you go by. But some of them are, you know, not by roads, and you really have to climb and you know, really hunt, you know. So it used to be quite sweet, actually.
The interesting story about this crop circle, now, this was in response to a communication that was sent out.
Right.
I forget the story, the context that was sent out.
Well,
by...
it was sent out to commemorate the building of the world's largest radio telescope at Arecibo in Puerto Rico, and as a commemorative thing, they designed this communication to send out. You know the way we bury time capsules and we identify a lot of stuff on Earth, so millions of years from now, if they dig it up, they'll know something about us. Well, this was the same idea, but it was sent out in radio signals into the universe. Never expected it to, first of all, it wasn't even going to touch anything that, you know, was like a planet for 200 and some odd years, and this was sent out in 1976. And we were never expecting an answer. It was just one of those things you do. Carl Sagan, actually, was the main designer of the message. And it went out in binary code, which you can then put on paper. You can translate that to a drawing. And what we got back in the field was comparable to the drawing, and it was exact comparable with all of the same size that we sent out and the same position of where the particular pieces of information were, and yet it was not our information. It was information about whoever sent it to us. Fascinating. I actually could have lost everything I owned on that, because I bet somebody everything I owned that the world was going to get it now, that something was going on. But you know what happened? SETI at the time was our search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yeah.
It was funded by the government now. It's privately funded now. But at the time, it was funded by the government. And SETI had a response. And the response that SETI made was, I have this on my old website where I used to post things, you know, before blogs. The response that SETI made was, no. If they had wanted to communicate, they would have done it in a radio message. They would not have done it in a wheat field. Case closed. Excuse me. So you know what they would have done, eh?
Oh, geez. Isn't that amazing?
It just took all the interest away. And the particular reason why I was willing to bet the farm was because right before that, within, I don't know, a week or so, the world had come to the crop circle country. It's the last time they came because the biggest one ever arrived. It was at the size of 2 football fields. It was a 6-armed wheel. And it was so big, you know, that made news. That we had, you know, we had all the national and the international media was there. And I thought, well, now they're there for this. And now this is going to be like the 1-2 punch. They're going to now say, oh, my God, not only the biggest, but we even got a message back. No, they didn't pay any attention at all.
And it's amazing. I still see little mini documentaries on PBS or different TV shows about SETI and the statement, no, we haven't had any contacts with extraterrestrials yet, but we hope to someday. We really believe we're going
to find
something out there.
Of course, that's crop circle junkies go, look down, don't look up, look down, you fools.
It's amazing how what they've done to get our attention, like with the giant crop circles that are just so huge and so perfectly.
Yeah, they're sending a lot of really large ones now. They're so complicated and so large and so gorgeous, you know.
Yeah, it's like tell me that some guy coming out, a couple guys coming out of the bars with boards on their feet made these things.
Rather ridiculous, but. As we say that, we also want to acknowledge the hoaxers get better and better. And I don't really know how they do it. They're very sneaky and they're very secretive. I know there's things they can't do. They can't change the biology of the plants and they can't change the chemistry of the soil, so that if we were to take material into the laboratory, which has been done, we would say, oh, we can't do this. That would be definitive. And there are also, other indications of a formation that's hoaxed. But they've gotten very good at reproducing kind of the surface reality of them. And some of them really have surprised us that we know were made by hoaxers. We wouldn't have thought they could have done it even as well as they do. But they have gotten better at it. So, you know, we don't want to lie about that. But, you know, the really important thing is that there's a real phenomenon, not how many people are copycatting it or, you know, making diversions about it. I mean, and that, of course, occupies everybody's attention. No, come back to the real thing. Don't be occupied by the criminals, the thieves, the murderers, you know, that's what makes news.
Yeah.
They're not murderers, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're cheats. And, well, we that's news, you know, that's interesting. So,
I'm really amazed with the vast variety of psyops, you know, psychological operations that go on in the collective consciousness. I mean, to me, it's like this is interesting, you know, like a big drama, you know, point counterpoint, you know, truth masking as untruth masking as reality, and the whole gauntlet of amazing things that are coming forward, and this vast variety of limited hangouts and straw men and debunking of all kinds.
Well, science is our guy, a god, so that if it's not fitting the parameters of science, it doesn't exist, like consciousness and love and whatever. That's one thing. Another thing is we have our society of professional skeptics. it isn't like they look at the evidence and they say, oh, this doesn't work. No, they're skeptics to begin with. You know, they're going to say no to anything that falls outside of these scientific parameters just because it falls outside of it. Wait a minute. This is not a way to, you know, run a world. But there's one other thing that I like to talk about to call people's attention to, particularly to call the media's attention. The fact that they are ascribing, popularly ascribing this to being a hoax phenomenon, kind of ends it. It's like, oh, no, 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 people make those. And I want to say, wait a minute, media, if people have been doing this for hundreds of years, night after night, for no money, for no recognition, because they'd get arrested if they identified themselves, nobody is ever caught, and then you go through all the, you know, 4 hours of English darkness, the size of 2 foot. If people have been doing that, that would be a fabulous story, you fools. I mean, why don't you really investigate this, and if you decide after you investigate it that you've cracked it and it's all people, you'll have a fabulous story. Now, that I'd like to get across, you know. I talk about that a lot, so hopefully, you know, someday somebody who can do something about it will be listening.
Well, you know, I sent this email out about the show today. I sent it out yesterday to about 3,500 or so people on my email list that I've been, you know, evolving for 10 years doing this on the Internet also. And recently I've added a lot of lists that different friends have shared with me with fundamentals. Fundamentalist Christians. And it's interesting, you know, some of the response I got back this morning as I was looking at the emails about, you know, are you loony?
Oh, I know, I know.
Are you
loony? Whenever you bring the subject up, wherever you are online, you can be sure that you will read all sorts of responses.
Oh,
and, you know, from loony tune to, and then the other people say, hey, you jerks, this is real, you know, oh, God.
Yeah, well, it's, the big drama going on, and I like the expression that you had that was brought up in one of those video clips regarding the introduction when the show was first introduced, and about we don't see things the way we are, we see things the way we are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that concept of a lot of people, I think, came in with soul contracts that they were to be, you know, light workers, light bearers, light weavers of a new age, a golden age, you know, the millennial shift. And other young souls came in and they had other contracts. Their contracts was, not so much pioneering the new frontier of inner space, you know, but more so maybe just maintaining, the momentum of a young soul. To believe the best they can with pure intention. And to me, that's fascinating. To me, it's all, you know, everyone's motivated for their reasons, not our reasons.
But,
and,
you know, also, even when you become despairing or, you're upset by the fact that there's ignorance out there, ignorance, it drives truth. You know, you have to work a little harder. You have to see a little deeper. You have to become more articulate, you know, about really standing for this higher truth. And, you know, that kind of elevates the game. The world progresses by a little bit of tension and conflict and whatever, and you just keep rising above it. You rise above it. And that's a good stimulation in a certain way. So, you know, it's okay. That's the way you can accept all of this nonsense that goes on out there. I mean, it's funny. I call it nonsense, and they call me nonsense. But whatever, you know. It keeps us on our toes so that, you know, when we really do realize that something real is going on, we've earned it, we've learned it, we've discerned it, and then it's part of us. Then we know it. It isn't. You know, sometimes they say, well, why don't they land on the White House lawn? That argument, you know. Why are they being so mysterious, you know? Why aren't they being more clear? Why don't they just, you know, say hello to us? Well, the first answer is, of course, why don't they land on the White House lawn? Well, we'd probably shoot them. You know, that wouldn't be a good idea. But nonetheless, even if we didn't, you know, nobody is giving a gift. You know, here we are, we'll help you. It's not as good as us going, oh, yes, We get it. It's peaceful. It's intelligent. You know, on our part, we've become more discerning and more intelligent, and we've done it for ourselves, which is very, very much better for us than somebody doing it for us, so to speak.
Well, there's definitely an awakening going on with a full spectrum of souls out there that are...
Oh, definitely. Big deal. Big time.
Looking at these crop circles, and it is, they are like Carl Jung referred to as the symbols of the collective unconscious, and they do provide like a Rorschach ink blot. The people project into it their fears, doubts, hopes, for the future, and the full gauntlet of who they are. And by the way, for those who just tuned into the show recently, I'm talking to Suzanne Taylor, who's the producer director of the video, the film What on Earth: Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. So for those who have looked at the Cosmic Love show page for this October 9th, I hope you realize that this is all preparation for 10-10-10.
Mm-hmm.
October 10, tomorrow, 2010, for whatever that means. You can project it to a harmonic convergence with whatever.
Whatever, yeah, people are making a big deal out of it. There's all kinds of things going on in L.A. in relation to it, and there will be next year on 11-11-11, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, there is, it is what you make it. 10 is the number of completion. The one, upright eye, O, spherical consciousness, the spherical consciousness, the linear consciousness of the one, and the spherical consciousness of the O, and the power of 3 times 3, 10, 10, 10, the neurologists are having a field day with this.
I'll bet.
And, anyway, I always say, well, you know, it is what you make it. Believing it so makes it so.
Well, there's a lot of that, too, you know. There is a lot of that. I think, so in fact, about this 2012 situation around which there is much curiosity,
yeah,
and controversy and whatever, I have some feeling that, as opposed to it being the gospel because it was preordained that way, that something would happen on that date, I think the fact that we're all paying attention to it and talking about it and wondering about it and whatever, that's the good thing. You know, it's keeping us energized and curious. And curious is a great place to be. You know, I always say, please be curious. Don't be cynical. Be curious. It's so much better, you know. It doesn't hurt anything. It's not like you've swallowed something and, you know, and it's a line of malarkey. No, just be curious. In fact, you know what? I used to say that to my mother and father, may they rest in peace, because I was, you know, the rebel who got into all these kind of newfangled ideas, you know, and they were very resistant. And I would always just beg them, oh, please, just be curious. You don't have to believe anything I'm saying, you know. So much better state to engage in, you know, curiosity.
Oh, yeah. It's called open-minded versus closed-minded.
Yeah.
I've had a look at several crop circles that different people looking at them were convinced were indicators of what's going on with Planet X coming in the 2011-2012 timeline. And actually, I've got a link on that at timesigns.htm, you know, heartcom.org/timesigns.htm. And I don't know, have you seen specific crop circles related to the Planet X inbound?
Well, you know, just in terms of, no, not Planet X per se, but there was one that I have in my movie in 2008 that gave the solar system in 2012, in December 2012, of the alignment of the planets at this time when we're looking for something important to happen. But they often do that. The circle makers often will give us, it's not so much that they're telling us anything. It's not like they're giving us information we need. They're just giving us the echo of the fact that they read us. They know that we're watching for that. We'll get, for instance, indications of an eclipse that's coming, and they'll send a crop circle before the eclipse that reproduces the whole eclipse kind of pick. You're looking at, oh, that's an eclipse. Oh, we're about to have an eclipse. Oh, they're telling us we know we're going to have an eclipse. you know, they know we're going to have an eclipse, you know, things like that. That's almost like a wink at us, I think, to let us know that they're watching and that they're intelligent, you know.
Yeah. Well, this was a graphic at Avebury Manor,
Avebury Manor.
Avebury Manor.
Manor. It's right next to Avebury, that big stone circle, yeah.
Yeah, back in 15th of July, 2008, you're right. And I was looking at that.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with the solar system. Yeah,
that's
that
right.
In my movie.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole movie because of my slow connection on my Internet.
Uh-huh.
But,
we let you have a peek behind the scenes. We gave you the password. Now, the folks can't do that. They have to buy the DVD. The only way it's available right now, and it's only available at our special site there. So,
well,
but
then,
it also
again,
has an hour bonus material on it, by the way. We should say that. I like, you won't be able to
I
see
that. I saw
that.
That's some great bonus material. Now, you got that link again. That was a Crop Circle.
CropCircleMovie.com/radio. That's where they're going to go buy the DVD. It's only $19.95 plus a little.
And you get all those bonuses on there.
There's bonus material on the DVD itself, and then that special sale site, because, you know, wherever you got it, you'd get the bonus material. But on the special sale site, which is CropCircleMovie.com/radio, you'll get 16 gifts that are electronic gifts. Some of them are just fabulous, really wonderful things that you can't get elsewhere, things
yeah,
I really
like. Yeah, I saw
some
of those are great. Yeah, that's quite a value-added
It is. It is. Well,
package.
We tried to make it so valuable that you couldn't resist buying it. It's
oh,
an irresistible offer.
I don't see how anyone that can that you know, almost can, you know you can almost like you cannot not afford it.
Well, you know what's also nice about it, if you don't mind my doing a little commercial here. What's also nice about it is, first of all, you would enjoy watching it more than once. It's that kind of movie. It's not like, oh, I saw that. It's like, oh, you'll see, you know, it's rich and full of gorgeous pictures of the circles and real interesting philosophical thought. And also your friends like it. You know, people show it to their friends, their loved ones, whatever, and even skeptical people. That's what I like the best. Somebody just yesterday was saying, I showed it, oh, it was a radio host actually, said, I showed it to my husband who doesn't believe anything, and he was mesmerized. So,
why can't they do that?
Yeah, right. So I get that a lot. Oh, my son, he thought it was all nonsense. He's watched it 3 times. So
well, I like the expression of the movie, what on earth has the power to create those things?
Really? Really?
Oh, jeez. I'm fascinated with the subject of the geometric thought forms, certain ones that have a specific harmonic in the image, like Tibetan mantras or yantras, you know, these graphic
uh-huh.
thought forms that they use, that have a healing effect on consciousness. And specific, different healers have found that different thought forms have specific healing effects on kidneys, low back pain,
exactly.
and other physical and mental conditions. That fascinates
yeah,
me.
There's
that
a
really
fabulous doctor of Chinese medicine who comes to the circles every year. He's based on the East Coast, and he's quite a guru-ish kind of guy. And he has a whole chart of particular circles and particular ailments. You don't look at the photographs. You look at the pattern, the chart of the pattern. And he has his patients, you know, gaze at them and he has, you know, identified them as healing. I know some of the elemental parts of it. I don't know how he identifies the particular ones with particular ailments, but, you know, Chinese medicine is pretty trippy, different from us. But I do know the general principle, which is that the ones he's using are all sacred geometry. And sacred geometry is the design of the universe, the harmonious universe. If you reduced your body to geometry, how each part relates to another part, it's all sacred geometry. If you reduce the way plants grow, a leaf, then another leaf, then a... it's a pattern that's sacred geometry in numbers.
Fractal geometry of the universe. Yeah,
everything.
Fractals.
The whole universe is
it's
designed
all geometric
way,
fractals, yeah.
So that when you're looking at a pattern that, you know, that is very engagingly beautiful and draws you in, and it does have this harmonious shape to it, seemingly it affects your own body's harmony, then your body will come into a greater resonance. So I would, I wouldn't have thought of that, but when people who know more than I know actually work with the patterns that way, then I have to say, wow, wow.
Well, you know, I began studying this understanding of the geometric thought form for the expansion of consciousness when I began studying Jung back in the early 70s,
uh-huh.
Carl Jung. And his thing with mandalas, you know, the Hopi and Tibetan sand paintings and the ancient, called yantras, you know, these graphics.
Uh-huh.
They actually found that the Sri Yantra, you know, the archetypal mandalic yantra going back thousands of years, has a geometric thought, a mandalic form that when you take the intonation of the sound of Om, you know, like Om,
uh-huh.
you know, like in meditation, and you put that through a signal generator, it actually creates a wave patterns that create the Sri Yantra geometric mandala that is thousands of years old. So
the universe is really so astonishing, isn't it?
It's so amazing.
Really.
Somehow they knew the correspondence between visual thought forms and the harmonics of sound, which corresponds to the right brain. Visual corresponds to the left brain. They understood this left brain, right brain, audio-visual correspondence with thought forms and harmonics thousands of years ago.
Yeah, what was going on? We don't have a story. We're not telling the right story about how old intelligence is and lost civilizations. I was just listening this week to Graham Hancock, one of my most favorite authors, speakers. He was in L.A., and I've become friends with him because I'm so enamored of whenever I really like somebody a lot, I kind of go after them.
Yeah.
And but he long stories, but he's become a diver, and he's been diving in these places where 100 feet, yards, whatever. I'm not good on these measurements, but underneath the sea, there are clearly civilizations. And it was ice age, you know, when the sea level has risen apparently 400 feet, and these were above ground, and we haven't scientifically explored them yet. And he's somewhat disappointed that with all this diving that he did and all of this trying to get attention to what was going on, you know, when we got a little attention, that tsunami revealed some of it, that big tsunami in Indonesia.
Really?
Yeah, it revealed something that he knew was there, and that was, you started to hear a little bit about buried civilizations. Well, it's because of that tsunami, apparently, but he's been on it for longer than that, and frustrated that he knows those things are under there, and, you know, there's a lot yet that we're going to find out when we, you know, finally explore everything that there is. So apparently, this idea of lost civilization, we call it Atlantis or Lemuria, whatever, and we kind of think of it as mythological, perhaps, but something was going on. Advanced civilization may very well be cyclical, where we are not the first, and, you know, the previous ones were just devastated and gone beyond where we could retrieve them, and it keeps coming back, you know, there's a pattern, perhaps, for humanity and for advanced intelligence that is existing in the universe, and it just comes back again and recreates again over billions of years. Oh, my God, that's such a long time. Don't you wish you could pierce the veil and see through to where everything came from, you know? God, I do.
Well, I think that's what's going on with the Internet. There's this new instant everywhere interactive unveiling of ancient knowledge. Things like Graham Hancock and all kinds of stuff.
We can compare notes now. We can take the smartest people and they can educate, you know, the rest of us. And definitely there's an escalation because we can bounce stuff back and forth, for sure.
You know, always, when you're talking about what's happened on a cyclical nature throughout history, a friend sent me this thing the other day regarding this Planet X that is just like the subject of lost civilizations or crop circles. It's like one of those subjects. And he says that this is a quote from him, he said that every 33,660 years, the colossal pendulum-like orbit of Planet X brings it into our solar system, attracted by the enormous gravitational pull generated by our sun's equivalent mass of 330,000 Earth masses. So let's do the arithmetic. Begin by assuming that this giant comet is on the final stretch of its orbit when it will pass over Earth's head, loop over and around our sun, and thus be catapulted once again back into deep space. And he said that if you do the math, year 2012 minus 3,660 years takes us back to 1,648 BC, when geologists say there occurred the great volcanic explosion of the Santorini caldera, whose drifting ash cloud was described in Chapter 9 of the Book of Exodus of the Holy Bible. This volcanic explosion was just one of many global catastrophes which were recorded contemporaneously in ancient Egypt and Chinese annals, as well as passed down through the Mayan, Mexican, and Aztec legends. In other words, different civilizations all over the world. And then he said, year 1,648 BC minus 3,660 years takes us back to 5,308 BC, when according to geologists Pittman and Ryan, the great flood of Noah's day destroyed the world. These geologists based their dating of the flood upon stark geological evidence involving the Black Sea, and I've read those studies. And that you talk about the cyclic nature, that takes it back to 5,308 BC, and he said, year 5,308 BC minus 3,660 years takes us back to 8,968 BC when, along with ancient historians, geologists who follow the school of Valakoskian evidence, Valaki did this book, Earth's an Upheaval, but his evidence of global geological catastrophism as opposed to the now discredited school of geological gradualism, that everything has evolved gradually.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that evidence reports that the great globally catastrophic sinking of Atlantis occurred. In other words, every 3,600 years, there's been these global catastrophes, some worse than others, but it's the cyclic nature of the universe. And I mm-hmm. these crop circles that I've seen are mm-hmm. Indicating Planet X has returned. And, of course, I've got numerous websites on the subject. And in Cosmic Love, we often discuss it. Because it's not foreordained or etched in stone, what's going to happen. The real X factor is our free will. In other words, the synchronicity that Jung talked about, if we level the playing field, the quantum field of consciousness with a global revolution in higher consciousness, like mass awakening, will raise the shields of Earth and there'll be this harmonic, protection. But, when I say that, that's like talking about crop circles. People go, mm-hmm. well, what in Earth? how are we going to do that? And I says, well, it's not, it's not rocket science. We're either going to all hang together or we're going to hang separately.
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm fascinated with all this
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Oh, I know. Well, we are living in a thin sliver of reality. Fortunately, it's not as thin as it was in days of Ozzy and Harriet and Father Knows Best. Fortunately, we're in enough trouble to know that we really need to progress now. We can't just stick with these old methodologies that are really not suited for the much more complicated world we live in. And so, one good thing about how bad it is that it impels us to make it better.
Yeah, I'm convinced that, I go to sometimes a third grade 9-year-old level of, God love heals all. And then I take it I like to bridge the gap to a unified field theory of consciousness that God is geometrically ordered divinity, the fractal order of the universe, and the language of the law of the angles of God as the geometry of divinity is the language of the angels of love, the angels of our better nature. And that this unified field concept of the power of divine love, God love, is really the quantum reality that speaks from the great central sun of our galaxy. There's an intelligence in all those billions of star systems in the galactic plane that our solar system is crossing through 2012, and there's an alignment and a harmonic resonance with that galactic plane. Some people call it the photon belt of all these star systems. All this intelligence is repolarizing our sun of our system and our solar system, which is resonating with the nuclei, atoms, you know, DNA of our cells, you know, in our consciousness, and rebooting. There's a cosmic reboot from the inside out that's basically being outpictured in a new social conscience in our social networks, and it's accelerating to a point of what they refer to in 2012 as zero point, or unity consciousness. There's a lot of different references to this critical mass in the collective conscience, not collective unconscious. That's kind of where we're at right now. But there's this mass awakening from the inside out that's going global. I mean, that's, to me, it's like, you know, I can't think of a better wave to ride.
Yeah, really. Well, I consider myself very lucky that I know there's a wave to ride. Really, seriously. There's so much depression. People are feeling so stuck. They have no idea how to get unstuck. So even if, you know, I never had any influence, at least I know what game I'm playing, you know. And that feels very, very satisfying. I'm never quite satisfied because I want the world to change. But at least it feels like I'm doing my best, you know. I don't feel so helpless like some of my friends do. You know, this is my trip. I've known about it for such a long time. I've been so plugged into it. And, you know, some people I know will come along and they're jealous of me because they don't have a passion like this. I say, well, you know, study up. Tune into mine, you know. You can have mine, too. But I know what they mean, you know, that their lives are just, you know, a bit of struggle and frustration, and they don't have that really high kind of aspiration or goal or awareness, you know, of what it is that's better. So I feel very, very lucky that I am so tuned in to something that could be so meaningful.
I think it was David Hawkins that said, truth is a tsunami. You either ride the wave or you die.
Did he say that? I was very early into him. Power versus Force.
Power versus Force, yeah.
Yeah, I love that book. I thought that book was really hot.
Yeah, that's one of my 10 all-time favorite books, I think. It's my top 10. One of my top 10.
I'll tell you my very top favorite, though.
What's that?
My very top favorite. I bought over 1,000 copies, so your listeners should heed my words. Oh, actually, if you get on theconversation.org, I like this book so much that you can buy it from my website. It's on column left, and you can also buy the Best Crop Circle book there, which is a new book. But my all-time favorite book is A Cosmic Creation Story. Where did we come from? What are we doing? Where are we going? It's called The Universe is a Green Dragon. Have you ever heard of that, Christopher?
No.
Well, hightail yourself onto my website and go buy it. The Universe is a Green Dragon by Brian Swim, who's a physicist and a mathematical cosmologist, but he's a mystic and he's a poet. And the way he's translated these sort of objective ideas into these incredibly metaphors that you really can sink your teeth into, and I just adore this book. It's not a big book. It's a thin enough book that you can kind of get through it, and it's so charming. It's a master, a child, a student talking to the teacher and asking questions. Yeah, it's kind of like conversations with God, you know. What's this? How does this work?
I think if Christ were alive today, he'd be using exquisite metaphor, you know, modern-day parable, mystical metaphors. Yeah.
That's the best way we get it. You know, we get
that's
it.
That's the only
way
we get it. Yeah. It's
right.
Something
when you
is
get
like
it, when you read
else.
The Universe as a Green Dragon, you come out of this thinking, oh, I'm so lucky to be a human being, and I'm so responsible as a human being for my world. I've taken over from evolution. There isn't any more evolution. We do genetic manipulation. We do this. We do that. I mean, evolution is a billions of years slow incremental process. No. It's human beings, and we've got it in our hands now. And since we've got it, we better do a good job. But you just get the gloriousness of this privileged position that you're in as part of the Big Bang, if you will. You're still it. You're the whole universe is in you. Oh, it's just the most beautiful.
Oh, we're in the universe and the universe is in us. I love Greg Braden's stuff on that and how our consciousness and our emotional content in our consciousness actually programs and reprograms our DNA, mm-hmm. which defines then how we evolve in our conscience. He has some great stuff
on
that.
I don't really know his work that well. I know a lot of people are very stoked on him. He said some things about crop circles I didn't agree with, so,
I
never really deeply got into him. But I know a lot of people like his work a lot, so I'm not.
Well, you know, back to crop circles. There's they now know that when a crop circle is being created, haven't they recorded high frequency sound of a certain kind?
Well, it's not when it's being created. It's after it lands early on. There is some kind of, you know, that was one of the things that they noticed, and that was, you know, noteworthy, that some kind of high-pitched sound. But they've also recorded, there's a harmonic somehow. It's not so much the sound as mathematical ratios actually conform to something in music, the diatonic scale. I don't know music that well. But then people have translated that, and there are various people that have put out material, which is the song of the crop circles. That's not what you're talking about, though. You're talking about this strange trilling sound that just accompanies sometimes a fresh circle. And what's that?
Yeah.
You know. Now, what the meaning of it is, I don't know. Why it's significant, I don't know. I just know that yes, there is the existence of that.
Well, I'm fascinated with that because I've studied the science of semantics. Cymatics, it's called.
Oh, yes. I've got a big post about that in my blog, very intelligent post about it that goes much further than anything I've seen before. I picked it up. So I find these interesting things, and I've got this kind of kinky brain that's always looking for unusual things that explain the universe, you know. And so I have a wonderful post about that, actually, on my blog. But yes, cymatics.
Well, so,
you want to tell your audience what cymatics is?
Yeah, if people aren't familiar, they found that they can put the sand on a plate and then put frequency into a metal plate, and the sand will assume geometric patterns that correspond to the sound patterns, and it's kind of like
you can put a note, I guess you'd call it a frequency, and then change the note and the whole pattern and reconfigure it. They do it with the first thing they did it with was metal filings. Hans Jenny did that work, a Swiss guy. And then after that, they've done it with sand. And you can find these things online. Well, definitely go to the conversation.org. In the search box, put in cymatics or sound even. I bet it would come up if you put sound in, although that's a common word. But cymatics is C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S. And you'll get my post. That's really one of the more fascinating pieces. You got to do that too, Christopher. You'll enjoy that.
I read about Hans Jenny, and I'm fascinated with the concept of, you know, you do this the sound ohm through a signal generator, and it creates
a geometric pattern.
The geometric patterns. Anyway, we're gonna
and
have
it's
to
another
do a
indication that the universe is all geometry. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we're going to finish on that note. Suzanne, I'm really grateful that I was able to have you on the show today.
Oh, it's fun talking to you because you got a good brain. I like it. But send them to
CropCircleMovie.com. I love this subject.
So we're sending them to CropCircleMovie.com/radio. That's the big message of the day.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Let's do this again sometime.
Hey, book me.
Well, thanks so much. Happy trails, everyone. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks on Cosmic Love. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.